City, connected with the world. Here's Tom Sullivan.
Oh, yes, here we are. Welcome to the Big Radio Show on this Thursday, the 26th day of April, 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan. We were just talking during the break about the similarities, that's the wrong word to use, but yesterday we started the program with the story about the Golden State Killer and how after 40 years they found the guy, and now he's an old man, and they've got him locked up. And so today we start the show with a story about a guy that goes back decades, that's now an old man, who should have been locked up if he was anybody other than Bill Cosby. It's just interesting to see the two stories about, we're just commenting about the fact that it just goes that crime, you commit crimes, it doesn't matter how many years go by. It doesn't matter. Especially with technology today, with all this DNA technology, and we're still trying to figure out how the Golden State Killer, how they lined up with him, and they said, well, it was because of new advances in DNA technology. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that you can go after. How do they line up that guy with all those murders and rapes? And Cosby wasn't a mystery. I mean, he's had people accusing him of sexual assault for a long, long time. One finally got in under the radar, barely, because, in fact, it actually goes back to politics in Pennsylvania, where the local district attorney did not want to prosecute Bill Cosby. And the next election, his competitor said, if you elect me, I will prosecute Bill Cosby. That was part of his vote for me campaign, and was successful. And that was right under the wire before the statute of limitations expired. So Cosby almost got away with it, but found guilty today on all counts in Pennsylvania. Couple of little personnel news here today, if you will. They have moved the nomination of Mike Pompeo, and it was pretty easy. He was confirmed 57-42. So even though a week ago they were talking about how it was going to be a big cliffhanger, I never thought it was. I thought Pompeo was pretty much liked by everybody. So he is now our Secretary of State, our 70th Secretary of State. And tomorrow, he gets on a plane tonight and heads to Poland, I believe it is, on a big European conference going on over there. And then the other vote that was held back was Richard Grenell, and he finally, after 7 months, the Senate confirmed him as the new ambassador to Germany. And part of that is Angela Merkel's showing up tomorrow. She's coming in tonight, and then she's going to be over at the White House tomorrow, and it'd be kind of embarrassing to have the German leader here without a German ambassador. So they said, okay. But the other part about Richard Grenell is that he happens to be gay. He's a longtime member and supporter of the Log Cabin Republicans. And his confirmation is a milestone. He's now becomes the highest ranking openly gay official in any Republican administration in history. So, Log Cabin Republicans were pushing for him to be confirmed, and he is now. Look at this guy. Forget his sexual orientation. That's whatever. But he has a long history of where he's worked for four different administrations in the UN. He's an honest to goodness global diplomat and works easily around that kind of world. So he had a lot of support, a lot of support from the right and from the left. But because of the fact he's really well qualified. You know, they put up some of these clowns sometimes who aren't qualified. Oh, you want to talk about Ronnie Jackson? So bottom line, Pompeo and Grinnell are both given thumbs up today by the U.S. Senate. Let's go to Ronnie Jackson, because yesterday I was smelling a rat. And so we just spent some time talking about how, and I don't have any doubt. I mean, you know, some of you are sending me tweets and emails about the fact that I don't really see how evil all of this is. Yes, I do. Tomas Palermo says, did anyone turn Obama's personal and financial life inside out? He was untouchable. Yep, he was, but he also didn't have the kind of complicated financial life. He had no complicated financial life. But anybody who gets up to the top of our national politics, there's probably some people that can say bad things about him. But Donald Trump is unique in that he has a very complicated life. He has done business in an area where, especially here in New York, but he's done business globally where there's a lot of foreign money, a lot of foreign contacts, a lot of Russian money, a lot of Chinese money. And the people that connect you with that money are people who have backgrounds as well. And some of those backgrounds raise eyebrows. So, come on. You can't compare Obama and Trump. Obama, you know, a guest lecturer in a law school, and he was a community organizer. I mean, that compared to a global real estate developer. Not even close. James Snook says the same thing. Tom, what would happen if it were, what would have happened if there was a witch hunt when Obama was elected? All this seems to confirm a deep state. Well, I know the deep state thing is, I think it makes you sound kind of kooky. There's always people that are bureaucrats in Washington that don't like whoever's been elected. And they don't want anything to change. And then there's the electeds in Washington, all the members of Congress that have been there a long time, and the bureaucrats and the leaders of various agencies. They don't want anything to change. If you had a nice, fat, cushy job in government and paid you well and you had lots of authority and a bunch of people kissed your feet, you'd go, I don't want this to change. I don't want some new administration to come in here and take my cushy job away. So, yes, there are always going to be, if you want to call them deep state, okay. I know there are people that are going after Donald Trump. I'm not that naive. Of course they're going after him. They hate him with a passion. I've never seen anything like it. And Trump creates a lot of it simply because of the fact he's not your normal politician. He fights back. Most of them don't. Most of them just say, consider the source, and they go about doing their job. Donald Trump is not that kind of character. We all know that by now. All right, so Ronnie Jackson. Yesterday, I mean, I had to stop and just go, wait a minute. We've got all these accusations. We don't know who they're coming from. Dr. Jackson had no idea who they were coming from. The Congressional Committee, Veterans Administration Committee, said, oh, yeah, we got these unnamed whistleblowers telling us about how Dr. Jackson is a drunk and he's crashed a government car and he would pound on doors of females when they were on the road with the president. All these allegations, terrible allegations, passing out sleeping pills. I heard somebody yesterday say, you know, every administration, when they go on the road around the world, you wonder how they stay awake during some of those, because they're on the opposite time zone of the United States. I guess Dr. Jackson would give them something to boost them, to keep them awake, or to help them sleep at night because they were trying to sleep during what would be daytime here. Those are all accusations. But the problem with them was they were all very anonymous. Nobody could say who they were. And so even Donald Trump the other day said, man, if I was him, I wouldn't do this. I wouldn't put up with all this. So there's an editorial today in Wall Street Journal, the character assassination of Ronnie Jackson. So Dr. Jackson withdrew from consideration to be the VA secretary. I don't blame him. But I had a little bit of hope yesterday when he said, no, I'm going to fight this. Bring it on. Because if you're not guilty, you've got to fight it. Because otherwise, everywhere Dr. Jackson goes from now on, for the rest of his life, that is going to be how he's remembered. Oh, he's the guy that was, remember? He drinks too much and passes out pills, Dr. Candyman. Mean to his staff, all of that. So now they're all gone. And it does beg the question, where were all of these complaints when he was George W. Bush's doctor? Where were all these complaints when he was Barack Obama's doctor? There weren't any. And all the presidents, I know they're the presidents, so obviously he's going to be on his best behavior with them, but all the presidents wrote glowing reviews of Dr. Jackson. So when you talk about, are people out to get you? If you want to be part of the Trump administration, I think you better be a choir boy. We'll talk about Dr. Jackson when we come back. Phone number is 855-295-6600. You can find my phone number, my comment line phone number, the links to my email, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. You can find it at TomSullivan.com.
Unpredictable, unprecedented, undeniable. Tom Sullivan.
So on the thread that we've been talking about today are all these people that are under attack. And the other one that's in the news today, too, Scott Pruitt had to testify today before Congress. And he did an interview with Ed Henry over at Fox a couple of weeks ago. I don't know diddly squat about Scott Pruitt other than he's not real good with answering questions. He comes across as kind of squirrely with some of his answers, like he's trying to hide something. It's not a good look. It's not a good sound. But I do believe that Scott Pruitt knows what he's doing, is smart in his job, and has a lot of people where there's a lot of money at stake that he is going about the business of reversing a lot of regulations that strangleholds on a lot of property owners, business owners, you name it. And so he has, I think, done a great job. So then you get down to the question of, well, he's done a great job, but what about his ethics? Because he's got this $43,000 phone booth and his travel cost, and he had some buddies that he brought in and tried to give them big salaries and a lot of stuff that, you know, if you're going to work for government, sorry, you really need to get on the campaign of we the people, of by and for the people. But they think Washington takes these people and makes them into, I don't know, financial illiterates. But I like what Scott Pruitt's doing, and I think that's why he's being attacked. I think there was a lot of $43,000 expenditures that people looked the other way on in about every administration that we've ever had. But they're going to, if you are working in the Trump administration, you better expect that they will put you under the microscope. So I can hear you guys saying right now, so they should be under the microscope. I agree. But should they be under the microscope under the Trump administration different than they were under Obama or Bush or Clinton or Bush or Reagan? So back to Donald Trump calling into Fox and Friends this morning. And this whole thing about Ronnie Jackson came up. And John Tester is the ranking Democrat on this Veterans Affairs Committee from Montana. And so the president says Tester ruined Ronnie Jackson's reputation. And Ronnie Jackson, he thinks, is still a great man.
John Tester, I think this is going to cause him a lot of problems in his state. He took a man who was just an incredible man, respected by President Obama, gave him his highest rating. You saw what President Obama said. Yeah. President Bush, he was the doctor to President Bush, to President Obama and the family. He's been my doctor, and he runs a fantastic operation. You know, they have many doctors, and they run a fantastic operation. And honestly, I said it to him. He didn't come to me. I said, you know, Doc, you run a great operation. How do you think you do at the VA?
Well, I still wonder about that choice, but he is the president, and he has hired a lot of people and put them in. He sees something in Ronnie Jackson that a lot of people go, huh? He's a medical doctor with a small staff. How can you run something as big as the VA? By the way, John Tester, the 2012 election, he's up for election this year. He won the state of Montana 48% to 45%. A libertarian in Montana got 7. So it wasn't a blowout 6 years ago. And I don't know, have any idea what Donald Trump is thinking about the fact that Tester's going to have lots of troubles in his state. But it sounds to me like he's going to make some special trips to Montana and maybe do some campaign appearances for whoever's running against John Tester. So it's I don't think Tester ruined his reputation, but Tester's the one who opened up publicly all of these anonymous whistleblowers. So I guess, yeah, you could say he did. He made it public. He made it public. It does seem to be much worse. I don't think you can argue against that. It does seem to be much worse with anybody and everybody that's associated with Donald Trump's administration. Phone number here is 855-295-6600. Again, you can find all the information to connect with the show at TomSullivan.com.
He likes it when you talk back. Tom Sullivan.
Oh, yes. I love it. Welcome to the program. Happy Thursday to you. We're talking about people going after Scott Pruitt, going after Ronnie Jackson, going after Michael Cohen, going after, I mean, just get the list out, and there's a long list there. Mike Pompeo got approved today, even though everybody said, oh, we got to, why would they turn him down? They've approved him to be the CIA director. People seem to like him. He's really, really smart. Top of his class at West Point, top of his class at Harvard Law. Seems like the kind of guy you would want to have to be Secretary of State. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Don, Vacaville, California. Hi, Don.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Doing great.
Listen, just before the bottom of the hour, you seem to imply in your comments that somehow Scott Pruitt was profligate in spending, what was it, $50,000 or so on some soundproof booth. Let me just tell you this.
Yes, but I also assume
he did
that
not have anything to do with that.
Well, I just assume that that is probably more common than not. Not that that makes it right.
That was all done by career employees of the EPA. Career employees contracting officers like myself. I'm a retired Foreign Service officer, 30 years Department of State.
Ah, thank you.
During my 30 years, I spent millions of dollars of U.S. government funds on different kinds of contracts. And first of all, that kind of money for that kind of facility probably is not out of line. But secondly, that was all done by people well below him who were career EPA employees, career government employees. It had nothing to do with that. You know, it started out as a request for a secure phone line, and then as it went up the line, the request for proposal got changed by different people.
So you're saying that the cabinet officer is not aware of all those things going on. There's a lot of moving parts.
You know, that was probably done 10 grades below him. I worked for ambassadors at U.S. embassies overseas. I spent millions of dollars without those ambassadors knowing what I was doing. All they cared about was the new furniture for the ambassador's residence, or they cared about the perimeter security for the embassy and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But
so who did you have to...
The level of the contracting officers below me, the ambassadors had nothing to do with that, nor did the Department of State officers know about that.
So explain something to me. Is it simply a matter of the State Department, in your case, gets a budget, and in that budget they ask for so much for operations, so much for plant and equipment, so much for a variety of things, and then once that is given to you by Congress, then there are people up the chain that have approval levels for how much they can authorize to be spent, but that the secretary never sees what that is. Is that right?
That's exactly right. The Secretary of State would not have known or cared about how much money I was spending at the U.S. Embassy and who gives a damastan for furniture and fixtures and soundproof telephone booths.
So by your comments,
decisions are made at-
so by your comments, you're saying that basically, yes, this is a political attack on him because they know they can do it. They know he wasn't
absolutely
responsible. Yeah,
absolutely, absolutely. And you know, that kind of money being spent on that kind of facility is probably not even out of line, because first of all, you have to get a contractor who has a security clearance to work within a space that's already very classified. So anyway,
you did that for 30 years. You did that for 30 years. So along the way, when you were
I did that for 30 years, yes.
So when you were a young guy just starting off in the State Department, did you do any of that, or did you work your way up to the point where you had authority, more authority and more authority and more authority as the GS levels kept increasing?
You work your way up. When I started out, my rank was equivalent to a captain in the military, and when I retired, it was equivalent to a bird colonel. I started out doing... When my first tour of duty was in Hong Kong, and I was doing leasing for apartments that cost $60,000 a year. I leased apartments that cost $60,000 a year to house staff for the people that worked at the U.S. Consulate General in Hong Kong. You know, and then I worked my way up. Obviously, I ultimately was responsible for multi-million-dollar contracts to purchase land and start the building process for U.S. embassies in different countries overseas.
Wow. So is there a feeling of responsibility about proper care of the taxpayer dollars?
Absolutely, Tom. And certainly in my case, and everybody that I knew, everybody that I worked with in the Foreign Service, we were always very, very cognizant of the taxpayers' dollar. And I have myself confronted many senior officers, including ambassadors, who desired to spend money on what I felt were frivolous things. And I said, you know, I said, all right, you want to spend $50,000 on this thing. Joe Sixpack, with a wife and two kids, making $50,000 or $60,000 a year, pays $5,000 in taxes. So 10 of those Joe Sixpacks are going to have to pay their taxes in order for you to have this new dining room set. Is that really what you want to do? And there are a lot of people like me in the federal service that have that attitude. So
yeah, I would think if it really comes back to, if you want to point fingers, it seems to me, correct me if I'm wrong, it seems to me where you point the fingers is to the Appropriations Committee in Congress, who are the ones authorizing how much, in your case, the State Department and all the other agencies get. It seems like that's where it comes from.
That could very well be. That could very well be. I'm talking, of course, in this particular instance about this particular thing.
Right.
A soundproof room, as it were, in which to conduct classified telephone conversations. $50,000 to me doesn't seem out of line. What this is it's a political attack on Scott Pruitt, because the left wingers in the Congress and the people that support them simply cannot stomach what Scott Pruitt is doing with the EPA.
Right, but they know that this is inside Washington. Everybody's onto it like you are, but they're doing it for a show for everybody else, for the people in the rest of the country that don't know.
Anybody like me who has worked for the federal government, who's been a contracting officer, knows exactly what's going on here.
Yeah, yeah.
And I will tell you that after 30 years, I retired with a clear conscience. I always felt that I looked after the taxpayers' money, every penny of it, as best I could.
I'm glad to hear that. I hope there are many people like that, because that's always the question. They're spending our money. It's always easier to spend somebody else's money than your own. So I get that, but that's good information. Don, thank you. I thank you for your service to our country as well. I appreciate your call. So it's no big surprise to a contracting officer. So it goes back to the point about this is a political hit. Because Pruitt is rattling the cage of the swamp. He is draining the swamp literally in the EPA. 855-295-6600. We will be right back. Don't go away.
Connect and engage with Tom Sullivan. On air, online, on demand.
Well, let's add Ben Carson into this whole thing, talking to the last caller about, you know, dining room sets. That was the big ruckus about Ben Carson. I don't know why they kind of backed off Ben Carson. They were going after him for a while. So the Wall Street Journal talks about the character assassination of Dr. Ronny Jack. And Tuesday night, John Tester, the congressman from Montana, senator from Montana, sorry, this is why Trump's mad at him. He was on Anderson Cooper Tuesday night. And the transcript says, Anderson Cooper said, "Do you know under what circumstances he was drinking? Social occasions?" John Tester says, "I believe they were social. You know, there were comments about him being in the hotel room and couldn't respond because he'd been drinking so much." And then he says, "Our vetting is not through yet. We still have more information to gather. But if this turns out to be solidly factual, then we have got a big problem with Admiral Jackson." And the Wall Street Journal writes, "Is it too much to ask senators to avoid going on national television and accusing people of being drunken drug peddlers without knowing if the allegations are true? That, more than anything, is what bothers me about this whole thing." And to his credit, Chuck Todd over at MSNBC asked whether such allegations should be corroborated before being publicized. And John Tester says, the question is, how do you corroborate? Is it only corroborated with people coming out and saying, yep, I'm the one who reported that? I saw it. John Tester doesn't have any alternative. So, yes, Senator, that would be a good start in verifying the accusations. But he goes on national television and even admits, yeah, we don't know if this is true or not. But let me tell you about this guy, what a drunken bum he is. I know that Admiral Jackson cannot sue John Tester. I wish there was a way he could for absolutely smearing him. I am, because of the fact that he has such a clean record and without any complaints, and all of a sudden he's been nominated, all of a sudden out of nowhere, this guy is the biggest drunk, biggest bum, biggest candy man. And they're not little charges, they're big charges that you would think somebody would have known, would have said beforehand. So I don't blame President Trump for being upset. This is, well, as my old friend Mike Huckabee has always said, politics is a blood sport. You don't want to get into it unless you want to get a little bloody. So back to the president being on Fox and Friends this morning, going after John Tester. I don't blame him. He says Tester is going to have some questions to answer in Montana for going after Ronnie Jackson.
He would have done a great job. A tremendous heart.
Any idea of who you might?
These are all false accusations that were made. These are false. They're trying to destroy a man. By the way, I did say welcome to Washington, welcome to the swamp, welcome to the world of politics.
Sure.
But for John Tester to start bringing up stuff like Candyman and the kind of things he was saying, and then say, well, you know, these are just statements that are made.
Right.
There's no proof of this. And he has a perfect record. He's got this beautiful record, unblemished. His son is a wonderful boy, goes to Annapolis at the top of his class, one of the finest cadets. For him to be doing this to this man and this family, I think John Tester has to have a big price to pay in Montana, because I don't think people in Montana, the Admiral is the kind of person that they respect and admire, and they don't like seeing what's happened to him.
Yeah. So I'm looking at what the political season is in Montana. They have... nobody is on the Democrat primary election. Nobody is opposing John Tester. So for the Democrats, he's got that done. But this primary is coming up on June 5th. It's an open primary. General election November 6th, but the primary in Montana is June 5th. The filing deadline is passed. It was March 12th. So the people that are going to go up against John Tester are... four Republicans, Troy Downing, Russell Fagg, Albert Olszewski, and Matt Rosendale. So you got four Republicans that are going to be competing with each other to get the Republican nomination to run against John Tester. You've got a couple of Green Party people as well. So I don't know anything about these four people, but it makes you wonder if there's a star in those four Republicans. They should be interesting to see how this works for John Tester. He doesn't have any sweat until November. See whether he gets reelected or not. So the president, going back to Fox and Friends, said the Democrats are a disgrace for obstructing all of his nominations.
The Democrats are obstructionists. It's horrible what they're doing. They're not approving people. They're taking them out to the maximum 30 hours. That's a lot of time, 30 hours, to interview people that are going to be approved. I mean, they go 30 hours and then people all vote. And it's a disgrace.
Yeah. I mean, it really is. Every administration puts up with the loyal opposition making it hard for them. But this is beyond anything that we've ever seen before, and it's awfully hard to not see it. I don't care what your party affiliation is. It is a blood sport. It's a dirty business, and there's a lot of good people. I'm not calling myself a good person. I was asked if I wanted to run two times, And I took a look at that crowd in Washington and the way the business is done and the way you have what you have to go through to be elected. I said, no thanks. It's a dirty business. I'm sorry. I'm happy doing my business. It's not dirty. So it's getting worse, that's all. And I presume the next time there's a Democrat president, the Republicans will do a payback. And it's just going to get worse from here, not better. I don't know where it's going to change. Well, we've got the full comment line band working today. Once again, this market is not tame. The market up 238. The Dow at 24,322. The S&P up 27. The NASDAQ up 114. The price of oil, $68. And gold will cost you $1,317. That's down $5 for the day. This caller disagrees with you about a bill to protect Robert Mueller.
Yeah, well, I think the president's got too much power. In this country, we're not supposed to go for dictators, czars, stuff like that.
Well, the Justice Department is part of the executive branch, and he's the head of the executive branch. There's two other branches to keep presidents under control. This caller says it's clear they're going after Donald Trump.
If God himself supported Trump, they'd find fault with it.
Yeah. It's embarrassingly obvious, the attack jobs that are being done. But we'll leave it there. I don't think it's getting better. But we'll talk some more tomorrow. See you then.